You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere.
Everywhere, all over the World Wide Web on 1510wwbc.com. You can hit that listen live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices. Or if you'd like to hear the archive of the show, they also have it there. They'll have it almost immediately right there on 1510WWBC. You just pick the date on the on-demand. Of course, we share it on all of our websites, which include Facebook and all of the social media places, SitaMediaInc.com, and his website, SitaMediaInc.com.
That's right. So on Mondays, it's
like a living room.
It comes up so quick, it Mondays. Does. Like, I blink and the show is here, right? And you know that. What's with the hat, Danny?
Yeah.
You're distracting me with the hat.
It's very Miami Vice.
It's very fishish.
Yeah.
He's fishing.
I like it.
I like it. It looks good. He's got his cross on. You could tell. Look at him with his fish and his everything. It's just perfect. So on Mondays, we sit here, and Ellen and I, this is like an extension of our living room. We get to sit down and have a really fun, unscripted, professional, educational show, and we give out real valuable information. Mm-hmm. And you know, Ellen, one of the things about Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, it's almost always on the forefront of my brain. No matter where I go, I'm meeting people and talking to people and making bookings. Even when I was in Asheville, North Carolina, I picked up somebody for the show as well. People just love it. And they go right to the website, thanks to you, and they're able to click on and listen to past shows, and people really, really like it. So thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. And that's the cool part about the show as well, is that you're out there networking and having fun with new experiences and new adventures. And when you find those people, it's something that you want to share with the world, which is why the whole platform is here, right? To do good.
Right. And so our show, we talk to people from all walks of life, people who want to sell a book, people who want to advertise their business, someone from a bank, mortgage company, maybe somebody just wants to talk about a nonprofit, whatever it is, the platform is here, we're open-minded, and we give everyone an equal opportunity to be on our show. And today is no different. We have our friends who are here, and it's so nice to share Labor Day with people that actually believe in Ellen and I and Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Our friend, retired Judge Steve Koons is here. Thank you. He's so relaxed. He's just watching what's going on. Thank you, and welcome to the show.
Always a pleasure.
He's a retired judge. He's a mediator, an attorney, an author. He's also a friend. He was one of my neighbors, and he likes to say that I'm his number one Democrat friend. Which I take it.
Favorite Democrat.
Favorite. I was going to say.
Favorite. I think Sheriff Ivey says the same thing. And then our second segment would be with another friend of ours. Dr. Amasita Gibson is here. She's also an author, and she's the CEO of MGAA Entertainment.
Professional Development. Yeah.
Entertainment. I swear, we have so many people on our show. It is entertaining at times. Some of the things you write is just beautiful. And you do keep us all in line.
Yeah, we should be paying your royalties, actually, because every time you're on the show, Sita steals a little line from something that you had said.
Yeah, it's always the one with the five Fs. I just love that. Right. It's so I'm a Sita Gibson friend.
Well, six now, so you get them at the
end. I'm good with it. Awesome.
So, before we go to Mr. Koons, I just want to tell our listening audience, you know, we always talk about opening our mouths and using the voice that the good Lord gave us for something good. And with age comes wisdom, and with wisdom comes the power and the knowledge that we have in our brains, right? And from the Holy Spirit, I should say, whether you call him Jesus or Krishna or whoever it is. So I'm sitting in Asheville in the airport awaiting my flight yesterday to get to Charlotte. And this beautiful girl with brown hair and beautiful blue eyes, and she's crying her eyes out. And after like 25 minutes of watching this child with her hair in a bun, sitting there just boohooing and crying, I got up and I gave her a tissue. And I said, "Are you okay, sweetheart?" And she said, "No." And my mama instincts kicked in, because I have daughters and I have granddaughters, right? And I have children. And she said, "My boyfriend just broke up with me in the parking lot." And she was on her way back to college. And so I immediately said to her, I said, "Is he paying your rent at college? Is he did he pay for your books? Is he paying your lights, water, telephone, health insurance, car insurance?" She said, "No." I said, don't cry. I said, "If he's not supporting you financially to go to college and become who you want to become, don't lose a tear over him. He's not worth it." So she looked at me and she smiled. We took a selfie. We exchanged numbers. So
she's going to be on the show next week.
She should be. So then she ended up, her flight ended up, we ended up staying on the tarmac for a while. So she was in jeopardy of losing her other connection flight. So I texted her when I got home and I said, "Did you reach home safely, sweetheart?" And she said, "I did." But she said, "I just want to let you know you were my angel today. Thank you so much. I don't know how to repay you." And I said, "Well, just go to school and do the best you can." I said, "Every day you wake up, sweetheart, is a good day. And say hello to your parents and tell them they raised a good girl." That's it. But I mean, at that point, you don't care if she's black, if she's white, if she's Republican, if she's Democrat, if she's Hindu, if she's, you don't care. It's a person in need. And I have to say, like, five other ladies came up to me and they said, "We wanted to go up to her and put our arms around her. But in today's world, you don't know when to intervene." Which is how sad that is, right?
It is. Really sad.
But anyways, we're going to go to our friend Judge Kuhn. So talk to us. Tell us a little bit about your mediation, where people could find you if they want to.
And talk about a career
you.
Of putting his arm around somebody.
Yeah.
Right? And helping people out.
Yeah. Because you're retired, Judge Coons, but you're also giving back. You're still doing your consultation. You have a firm you're working with. So talk to us a little bit about life after the judgeship.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. The life after being a judge is, I got aged out. I was too old to be a judge, a state judge. Now, a federal judge can go to forever until they just drop dead or whatever. But a state judge, county or circuit judge, we had to age out at 70, and they changed the law exactly like 6 months after it became effective for me to 75, but it was too late. I was already 70.
That happened to me with the drinking thing.
Yeah, it was already, right.
18 to 21.
Yeah, well, no, I hardly drink anything anymore. But I was already 71, so that was it. So you're retired.
Right.
So what you do, you know, you're, for 50 years of your life, you get up every morning, take a shower, put on a coat and tie, and you go to work. Okay, for 50 years. And then all of a sudden, oh, no.
The 50 years went by fast, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I remember you in Tortoise Island driving up the street from us, and, yeah, tall. He was. Yeah, you were taller back then.
I was only 1 inch taller. I was 5 feet 10 inches tall, and now I'm 5'9", because
My husband shrunk, too.
I shrank.
He lost an inch. Yeah, so for 50 years you did that, and did you know that when you started your legal career as an attorney that you were going to run for a judge? Or was that something that just came up?
Yes, but I kept putting it off for business reasons or whatever. And finally, it got to the point where I had to do it. But I already had a lot of state time when I was an assistant attorney general of Florida. And then I was also an assistant state attorney in Palm Beach County. And so I had some state time built up. And so I decided I needed to finish out my career on the bench, which I did. Had an interesting campaign and managed to win. 125,000 people voted for me, and that was kind of a shock, you know?
Why, they didn't know you personally?
Well, I mean, they had a choice, and they chose me, but that's a very humbling experience, and I truly enjoyed what I did, and I'm very grateful that I did.
But in the profession that you are in, Judge, experience does matter. You have a lot of experience in so many types of law. From corporate, real estate, criminal, civil. Talk about a wide variety. That's who you are.
Yeah. Well, that's you know, I did a lot of things. I was a board certified civil trial lawyer for 30 years. Before that, of course, I was a prosecutor. I represented insurance companies. I represented banks. But I always really rather represent, the little guy, the smaller guy, the regular guy, the normal person on the street. And so that's what I'm doing now. What I do is I selectively practice some law. I do cases only that I want to do, and I mediate. I'm a Supreme Court certified mediator. I got certified in 2018, and what I do is I resolve cases, and I have like about a 90% success rate. I can settle a case because I can tell pretty quickly what the problems are. And then, of course, you use the toolbox that you have, and inside that toolbox, you'll find your biggest tool is doubt, and you start asking questions of the person who thinks they're going to win this case, the questions that make it not so clear that they're going to win.
Sounds like a mother-in-law sparing two spouses, because you have the experience of mediation. That's what it's all about, listening to both sides and coming up with a solution, right? You also have the highest rating that an attorney could have as well, I read.
Yeah, well, we're about, let's see,
this is 2023.
I've been AV rated for 31 years. You know, I'm an AV rated lawyer, have been forever. It's Martindale Hubbell rating. You can either be a C, a B, or an A. And I would never want to be a C, but there are C rated lawyers. I've done a lot of things. I've enjoyed a very, very robust career. And I don't want my brain to turn to mush, so I got to keep doing something. I'm not working real hard. I'm not like I worked back when I was 50. You know, I was in my 60s. I'm not working like that anymore.
You have a choice now.
Absolutely.
So when you retire, because of your experience, though, too, all of these mediation cases probably go a whole lot quicker, because, like you said, you can weed through things pretty quick.
Well, I have.
And those are benefits.
I have a special. I give them a 3-hour special, 3 hours. I says, I'm going to sell your case in 3 hours. And I'm, it's 3 hours, it's 300 an hour, it's $900, split two ways, that's $450 a piece to settle your case. And I have settled over 100 of those since I retired. So, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
And I'm taking those cases out of the civil justice system.
Right. So it's not clogging it up.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yes, ma'am.
And we do have problems right now with too many cases as it is, and it's clogging up the system.
Especially COVID backed up everything.
Yeah.
I mean, they basically had to shut down everything. But now, the great benefits after COVID is now everything is done by video. And, we're all Zooming. I hardly ever go to the courthouse.
And for us, people over 50, that's kind of rough. The Zoom business too much.
Well, you get used to it. I mean, it's great. I mean, I'm sitting there with a tie and a but I'm sitting there in my shorts, and nobody knows.
That's the beauty of Zoom. You only have to dress from the waist up.
No, what about
the guy from CNN? No, none of that. That was just poor.
No.
He got in trouble zooming.
Poor planning.
No, I don't do that. But, I've tried a non-jury trial Zoom.
That's cool.
You had a trial, non-jury. So it was just a judge trial. Many motions,
Just to clarify, so our listening audience that's out there that thinks, wow, I've got a dispute going on right now with my neighbor, or is this something that somebody actually has to file paperwork as a judgment against someone in order to work with you? Does a case actually have to be brought up, or is it just one of those things that you have, like I said, a two neighbor type of a deal?
The answer is both. I do pre-suit mediations.
Okay.
You can do pre-suits. If you have a dispute and you can I get the other side to agree to go to mediation to resolve the dispute, pre-suit, yes, you can do that. Absolutely. Most of the mediations occur while it's in litigation.
Okay.
Sometimes I get ordered by the judges. Judges select me to resolve a case, but most of the time it's the lawyers themselves and the parties who agree to have meetings.
Interesting. So for our listeners who are tuning in, we are speaking with retired judge Mr. Coons. He is a retired elected county judge and is specialty appointed full-time circuit court judge for the 18th Judicial District of Florida, and he served Brevard and Seminole County. So you had some pet peeves that you wanted to talk about on our show today. And you know, the thing is, one of the most beautiful things about getting older and bolder and wiser is we're able to be responsible with our voice, but also help humanity. And Mr. Coons is not only here on our show to talk about the pet peeves, but he also does a lot of things behind the scenes to help in our community. He is helping the Space Coast in so many other ways. So talk to us a little bit, some of the pet peeves that you have, or maybe the most important pet peeve.
All right. Well, you know, a lot has happened in the criminal justice system in the last 4 or 5 years, obviously. I mean, we've seen, you know, when that cop decided to smother Mr. Floyd up there, I mean, everything started happening. The one pet peeve that I have is that there's a U.S. Supreme Court decision, it's called North Carolina versus Wren, that says that the motive, i.e. the reason why a police officer stops a person, either in a car or in person, is irrelevant if the officer has the authority to actually stop that person. Well, let's take it. Let me give you an illustration. I recently had a case where I had a young fella, Afro-American gentleman, also Hispanic, who worked two jobs, full-time job in construction, and then he had a second job working in a restaurant. He worked 70 to 75 hours a week. He has 5 kids, is married, lives in Palm Bay, and he's coming home from his work, and he is stopped by a police officer. I'm not going to tell you their department or anything like that. I'm not going to use any names. But he stopped because he has a burnt tag light. Okay, burnt tag light. Now, this is at midnight. Okay? And now that we have the body cams, you can actually see everything that is happening, and it's recorded. The officer was able to actually see the tag clearly, called the tag in, found out immediately, before he even got the guy stopped, that he, owned that vehicle, that he had a valid Florida driver's license, that he had no wants or warrants against him of any kind whatsoever, that he was basically a solid citizen. And what he was doing is he was going home after his second job. That's what he was doing. So what does the officer do? The officer stops him. The officer walks up to the side of his truck and says, the gentleman inside says, why did you stop me? And says, well, you have a burnt tag light. Now, let me tell you what a burnt tag light is in the lexicon of Florida law. It is the least most significant offense that you can actually commit.
Which light is that one?
That's the one that's on your tag. So it illuminates your tag. Now, he had 2 lights, one on each side, and only one of them was burned out. Okay, and the officer was able to read the tag, to call it all in and knew everything about
the guy. So it wasn't really an infraction, per se.
Well, the officer had the authority to stop him. Okay. Now, what is a burned-out tag? A burned-out tag light. That's an infraction. It's a non-moving infraction. It's a non-pointable. You don't get any points for that. And in Florida, you resolve it with a $10 fix-it ticket. All you do is you take the citation, you take it, and you get it fixed, and then you take the citation to the sheriff's office. And you show it to them. They walk out in the parking lot
and check to make sure you did it.
And they check to make sure they did it. And then it's $10. It's $10. Is there anything less significant than that?
So your pet peeve is he took it too far.
Oh, wait a minute. Just wait. See, he turned it into a third degree felony. Let me tell you how.
How so?
Well, listen to this. So he collects the driver's license, the registration, the proof of insurance. And then the officer says, do you have any weapons or drugs? Okay. Now, believe it or not, there's a U.S. Supreme Court decision that says that that's okay. I disagree with part of it. I think that an officer can ask someone if there's a weapon because it goes to officer safety. I believe that they can do that. The guy didn't have any weapons, but he did have a medical marijuana card.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he said, well, yes, I have some medical marijuana, and hands the medical marijuana card to the officer. The officer said, thank you. And that's the container that it, there's a certain kind of container that you have to have when you buy medical marijuana that's in the tar form, okay? And, you know, he's got it there, and the officer walks back, and she already knew the answer to all the questions. I'm sorry to say that. You know, you guys have been saying he, but...
But I mean, you're painting a really good picture for us, because we certainly understand.
So, there's another... Now, there's another officer who's pulled up, right? Okay, so now, we got a real desperado in here, right?
And the lights and everything.
This guy's got a burnt tag light out. One of two tag lights. And so, they're trying to figure out how to get into the truck. Why don't you ask him if you can... have consent to search the truck. And she says, I don't know, it looks all legit to me. I mean, you know, blah, 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 blah. So, after the discussion, the officer says, well, you just hand it. So the officer, now meanwhile, about 10 minutes have expired, goes back out and to this gentleman, and he says, sir, do you have an active prescription for this medical marijuana? And the man says, well, no, I missed my last appointment. So I don't actually have an active. Now, the officer is not really entitled to ask that question. There's no reason for him to ask that question. If you have a legitimate medical marijuana card, that's the beginning and the end of the discussion. Okay. And then without Miranda of any kind warning him, she starts to have an interrogation of this individual.
So they're the jury and the jailer at that point.
Well, if they did it, they want to find out, you know, where did this medical marijuana come from? And he said, well, sometimes I get some from my buddy, but most of the time I get it from the dispensary. Well, he just admitted to it.
Yes, from his buddy.
Yeah, he just admitted.
His buddy's not a physician.
Boom. So he was taking it to custody.
At midnight, after working for 15 hours,
just cashed his check. He had $350 on him. And they took the $350 because they think he's a drug dealer. I am serious. And this is for a tag light. Okay? So you asked me about my pet peeve.
So that's what you call a pretense stop.
Absolutely.
By law enforcement.
Which is legal under the U.S. Supreme Court. However, there is a recent Supreme Court decision written by Justice Ginsburg.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you really liked her a lot.
I did.
We all did, actually. She was a great civil libertarian. And... it deals with the situation as to what extent can you seize somebody, and if in fact the mission for which you stopped this person has been accomplished, you cannot seize them any longer than that mission. Okay? So I took the position that obviously the mission was accomplished when she determined, you know, all the basic information, which she got in like 3 or 4 minutes, most of which she already knew, okay? And then thereafter, what occurred thereafter was beyond the mission.
So I'm sure in law enforcement there's continuing education. Is there any way you could bring this pet peeve to the attention of chief of police, maybe other law enforcement officials, and maybe do a short class on something like this?
Well,
because you will be helping so many people.
Well, what do they want?
Because you used to teach at FAU.
Yes, I did.
You were a professor back then.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I did that. I did a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so sure that my opinion about pretense stops would be received with a whole lot of enthusiasm by law enforcement, because they want as many tools as possible to be able to detect crime. Okay? Now, they're going to say, listen, these are routine questions. You know, we're not doing anything serious here. We're not beating them over the head with a stick, or we're not, you know, conducting some, you know, great interrogation. But the problem is that they stopped them for a specific purpose, and they went beyond that specific purpose. And when they went beyond that specific purpose, they unlawfully seized them. And if they unlawfully seize them, then it is a violation of the Fourth Amendment of the United States Constitution. And everything that occurred after that moment in time is not admissible in evidence. Okay, so that is the law, but they continually do it. So then you have someone who's charged with this crime, and so who has limited resources. People have limited resources.
He just took the $350 out of his wallet. He's got five kids. Who knows that they even have a second car for her to go up and get them?
Unbelievable.
So that brings us to our second point of this segment here today, is like, how do you provide services for someone who's basically down and out in their luck, legal services?
Well, the man was working two jobs, but he had a wife and he had five kids. So believe it or not, he probably would have qualified for the public defender, perhaps, depending on what he made from his first job. I know he did pretty well. I'm not going to go into too many details. But the problem is that when the government files a felony charge against you, your life is about to be ruined if you get convicted of that felony. Okay? And so you have to be able to defend yourself against what the government's trying to do to you. And for many, many people, they just don't have the resources to defend themselves, and so they cut a deal.
And the charge remains.
They cut a deal, and you know, they end up getting convicted of a crime, but they don't have to go to jail, and they're able to get a hardship license. Incidentally, a violation of that particular statute, as well as any possession of any narcotic substance of any kind, legal or illegal, you get your driver's license suspended. That's part of the penalty.
Right, but
and how are you going to go to work?
Right, and then you have five mouths plus the husband and wife, mouths to feed, lights, water, telephone, mortgage, rent. Yeah.
And
that's how people fall into homelessness.
10 days is a nightmare. And then what do you do for money? What do you do for all of those?
Unless you have a rich grandpa or somebody waiting there to help. So
nonetheless, it shouldn't happen. And thanks for making that a pet peeve of yours, because that's definitely something that needs to be fixed.
I think we all have pet peeves that we could talk about, but you're right. Sometimes it falls on deaf ears. Like, I went into the nursing profession knowing that there was not enough staff. And I'm going to be leaving the profession in a few years, and we still don't have enough staff. Can't fix it. You could talk to whoever you want, and they say, well, you know, there's laws for this and that and the next. It's very difficult. Even teachers, right? Everybody have a pet peeve. Mm-hmm. So Mr. Coons, in addition to being an attorney now and a mediator, you're also an author. And you wrote a really good book, Justice in the Swamp. So do you have a minute to talk about Justice in the Swamp?
Absolutely. Let's sell a couple books here.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Yes, I wrote actually, it's the number two book. Mm-hmm. My first book was Judgment at 20 Mile Bend, the Palm Beach crime story. And then I see you have pictures of both of them right here.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, good for you. and I know that you read, I think you read the second
yes,
one.
Yes,
I read
did.
The second one.
Yes.
And so what I did is I took the same characters and I brought them forward 25 years. And not knowing at the time when I wrote the second book of what was going to happen to Mr. Floyd, one of the very recurrent themes and strong themes of this particular book is how Afro-American people are treated by the criminal justice system. And we have someone who was mistreated in my book, and he's completely vindicated, and the system actually worked. Incidentally, when I write a book, I want to have a good ending. A lot of times I see a movie, I read a book, I don't like how it ends.
I
say to myself, that's a bad ending, and I would have did this.
Thank you for doing that. Even movies, when you watch Bollywood films, there's one, the number one actor in India, Shah Rukh Khan. Thank you, God.
Your favorite.
He doesn't like bad endings.
Right.
He likes when things come together and tie up all the loose ends.
Yes.
And you did that in your book,
absolutely,
too.
Absolutely, yes. You got to have a good ending.
When do you find time to write?
Usually at 4 o'clock in the morning when I wake up, I get up.
We see your Facebook rants when you can't sleep.
yes. And you are my favorite Democrat.
Thank you. Mr. Coons, you know, I admire you and I respect you, and I thank you for your service to Brevard County as a judge and as an attorney and a mediator, a father, a neighbor, a friend. How can we move our country forward? Because you and I could sit down and have a conversation. Many people can sit down and from different backgrounds. But our country is so divided right now between racism and hate and division. How can we bring our country together? Because we're getting older. We need to do something for the next generation to leave a good footprint behind.
Well, there are politicians out there. There are folks out there who want to keep us fighting with each other. Avoid those people. Don't vote for them. Please don't vote for them. You know, and we need to put our community back in our community. There's no reason why we need to be fighting. I have a sister who, she's definitely left of where I'm at. And we didn't speak for like a year because of all this stuff that happened. It was terrible.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. And we of course, came to our senses. And that's happened to families all across the United States. I mean, you know, people, we've got to stop arguing with each other. You know, these people who want to keep us fighting for whatever reason, we got to stop.
And they walk all the way to the bank or drive all the way to the bank with a salary as a politician or something, while families are left in shambles.
Yeah.
Now, I have to say I haven't lost a single friend or family over politics because I know how to talk to people, and I reach them halfway. And I'm like, I am one of those people that I agree to disagree respectfully. And I'm glad you said that because oftentimes you'll hear people say, I don't speak to my sister anymore. I don't speak to my brother anymore. My parents are left or right. Whatever happened to the people in the middle that were able to listen to both sides and come up with a solution? You know?
Yeah, I've noticed that about your posts, Sita. So you're very clever in how you respond and how you handle people. You know? And I've gotten pretty good myself.
Yeah.
I'm pretty good. In the beginning, I might have been a little rough here and there, but, you know, I've taken it.
But knowledge is power, though. When we learn something every day from someone, we're able to apply it, right?
Right. I learn something new every day.
Well, I was sitting in the airport yesterday on my flight coming from I want to say, Charlotte to Orlando, and I met this African-American lady who has 7 children in South Carolina, and her daughter decided to give up being a bank official to help take care of her dad at home. And so now I'm learning from them about the Medicaid process in South Carolina, and it's absolutely beautiful. They were getting assistance with equipment. They were getting assistance with a caregiver. They were getting assistance with a van to take him to the doctor. And she said, you know what? My mom and dad raised us, and I'm the child that decided to quit my job and go home and help them. So look, when you talk to people, what you find out, right? I had no idea that process in South Carolina was so good for people who needs assistance. But here she was.
But it's empathy and perspective,
I think.
I mean, I think if we're empathetic to people, just like when you saw that young girl crying, you're empathetic. But it's also perspective, seeing things from other people's viewpoint, knowing that you can't be the only one. I mean,
right. So, Mr. Coons, give us your website for someone who wants a mediator, someone with experience like you have, and I know you also have the books on there because I was able to pull up 2 books this morning.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. StephenCoons.com, or just Google my name, and you will definitely find it.
Yes.
Definitely.
There's a lot of Coons out there. When you put in Coons, like 10 or 12 comes up.
Yeah.
Maybe they're kin. They're related to you.
Some of them.
Maybe you have 18 brothers and sisters, too, and you don't know it.
That's right.
Like I do.
That's right.
Well,
you never know.
Well, thank you again so much for a great interview. We will be right back with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right after these messages from our sponsors.
Christian Furniture is a family-owned furniture
Medfast
dealer.
Urgent Care.
Featuring the
Brevard
best
County's
most
largest urgent care network. Medfast is now open at 7:30 a.m. every day. That's right, 7:30 a.m. every day. We will get you in and out so you can get back to your day. When you are sick or injured, MedFast is here for you 7 days a week. Think fast, think MedFast. With 18 locations, there's a MedFast near you. Call 321-MEDFAST.
Are you longing for a taste of Louisiana? Lizette's Cajun Bistro is the place to be. They offer Cajun and Creole staples as well as American, vegan, and vegetarian options. The restaurant is located at 2447 North Wickham Road, Unit 146. All menu items are prepared daily from scratch and made to order. Dine in or take out as well as outside seating. Live music on selected weekends. So the next time you have a taste for Louisiana, stop by Lizette's Cajun Bistro. 2447 North
Wickham
Road.
Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, char grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000, 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at DixieCrossroads.com.
Jotkoff Financial Group.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere on God's magnificent planet, Miss Ellen.
That's right. AM 1510 WWBC.com. You can hit that listen live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices. Or the archive shows are also located there under On Demand. You just pick the date. Also shared on all of our social media accounts under Sita Media Inc., Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and then SitaMediaInc.com, which is our website. And you do a great job as well posting on your regular
page. Sita. So I wanted to give a shout out, a belated birthday greeting to my very good friend Esther Ramutar. She lives in New York, in Manhattan. Esther and I have been friends since we were 5 years old. She's a Christian and I'm a Hindu, and she was the friend that took me to church when I was at Brothers Presbyterian School. And I remember in the church, the preacher was saying, you cannot be a friend of Jesus and a friend of the world at the same time, talking about materialistic things and greed and envy and anger and all that. And Esther and I have been besties since we were five and we were in kindergarten, and she listens to our show every Monday. For the last 14 years.
Well, she's happy birthday. Listening.
Sometimes she misses it, but she catches up. And you have a PSA for us?
I do. We've got a couple of great things coming up. Sita has a table to this event. Islands of the Caribbean Gala, One Love, An Evening of Elegance. It's being put on by Bacasca, who is, again, you're a lifetime member of Bacasca.
My table is full. Praise God.
That's right. The Holiday Inn Vieira Conference Center is where it's going to be. And it's going to be on October 14th. Which is a Saturday, and you can get tickets from Bacasca, or of course contact the show and we'll put you in touch with the right folks. Okay. And I know Dr. Amasita Gibson, who we're going to be talking to in just a second, I know that she would also be able to get us some info.
Yeah, we better let her start speaking. Our time is running up.
That's
so
right.
Quick.
And one more PSA, October 10th, we had Love Inc. on one of our last shows. They're having a faith raiser. So once again, October 10th, you go to loveincbrevard.com and you'll find out all about those tickets as well, which by the way are free.
Right. So Dr. Amasita Gibson, you are a mother, a teacher, a friend, a neighbor, just like Mr. Stephen Coons. You teach us a lot of stuff. You're here. You've been supporting our show from the time we got on air, Ellen and I. And I really love the fact that you're a public speaker, a trainer, and you're an executive consultant. Also, you are ex-military.
Retired.
Retired. And you're the president of MGAA. So talk to our listeners a little bit about your company and all the great things that you're doing.
Well, first of all, I just want to thank you, Sita, and Ellen, and everyone in the room for just having me again. I feel like I'm a part of the family every now and again.
Definitely.
Well, today what I want to talk about mostly is being an author. And someone asked me the other day, why did you choose to be an author? Why did you choose to write a book? And I said it was to empower, engage, and to have people, for other people to have a voice You know, you could have a voice and you may speak somewhere one time, but after you speak, people want a takeaway. You know, do you have a book? And at that time I said, no, I don't have a book. So I decided to become an author. And my first book was Joy Unspeakable, A Spiritual Jambalaya. And I wanted to leave a legacy, something behind, not only for my kids, but for other people to read. And it basically was about vision, you know, having a vision. You know, the Bible always say, where there's no vision, the people perish. Remember that? You know, where there's no vision, the people perish. And really, not for only for Christians, but also for anyone that's in an organization or even for your family. You know, if you don't have a vision for your family, it's going to crumble. It's going to perish. And Sita said it well in the beginning. She said that, you know, sometimes we're always looking about getting. And we need to start giving. But I like to tell people, yes, I love to give. But when my kids were younger, they're adults now, I would say, my kids need to eat too, and my kids need to go to college. So you can't do everything for free, but you have to give back something to the community. And I always like
And you do. You have a lot of experience from being in the military, retired colonel, mm-hmm. Department of Defense. You also were in leadership roles in various times of your life. How much of that goes into your book? I mean, talk to your listeners a little bit, because so many people listen and they don't understand how much you guys give in the military. And you gave so much, almost what, over 20 years?
29 years, 7 months, 28 days.
Yes, talk to us about your military career. I love that.
I like to say that, you know, I just like to say that.
Say it again.
No, I won't.
29 years.
Yes. And, you know, in the military, my story, and I know a lot of those of you in La La Land that's listening right now, have heard my story from private to lieutenant colonel, from the pit to the palace. You know, that's how I like to say it. And it really wasn't I was in a pit. I was in situations where I didn't have a structure at the time. The military is very structured. So when you go into the military, everything is structured, right, from your socks, your underwears, your uniform, they tell you what to do. And part of that went into growing and empowering future leaders now. That's my signature book, which you can find on Amazon easily. So growing and empowering future leader, you need to, or to become a leader or to grow or to have a family that will be successful. This is my philosophy. You just have to have a structure in place. Some sort of structure.
A foundation.
Yes.
Yes.
And, you know, foundation, structure, something in place to guide people to go. You just can't be pulling stuff out of the air and just saying, hey, yay, and move on this way. So through my career, a lot of people came up to me. They asked me how I moved up in the rank so fast. They asked me how I moved up in my civilian job so fast. And they were asking me questions, and I was giving them a structure. I give them a format that I have, which is outlined in the book, and which is outlined, which you can get a free assessment, and I'll tell you how to get that at the end. And what we did, me and some of my colleagues, was we put something in place that they can use and go forward. I heard you say in the beginning you like the five F's. Well, there's an extra one now.
So go for it.
I'll tell you at the end. So anyway, if you have I am coined the empowerment doc, and that's because I want to empower others. I was doing it for years for free, you know, and that's because I love giving back.
And you do on your Facebook pages every day is something motivating and uplifting, and I think sometimes I feel like everyone should be on your page. I don't get a chance to look at it all the time, but you're always uplifting people. But Dr. Sita, what do you hope the readers will gain from your books? There's got to be something that you hope that by writing this they learn, whether it's leadership skills or vision or foundation for family, something, a lot of things are happening at one time in your books.
Right. I am hoping for them to have hope and for them to have encouragement. And for them to dream bigger, you know, sometimes we put ourselves in a box. You know, you could stand on the shore, You know, we had a lot of sand here the other day from the hurricane. You know, you just see the sandy shores. You could either stand there on the shore or you could pick yourself up and go one step at a time. You know, just move on. Oh, get off the shore and go into the ocean. When I say going to the ocean, you can't just be boxed in and let people box you in. And that boxing in is due to the mindset. You have to be careful about who you let into your mind and who speaks into your mind. And if you're doing things from the heart, it's not about money. It'll just fall in your lap. You know, it's you encouraging people. They'll come back. You know, kids that go away to college that I have supported through my nonprofit, they would come back and they would just tell me all the things that they got from just, you know, and it doesn't have to be a big scholarship. It could be a small scholarship you give someone in the community that would help them along the way. So when you are doing, I want to instill hope and encouragement for them to dream bigger. And it's right now is a time for us to evolve.
Yeah, it's almost, I feel like America, the world needs a spiritual awakening.
Right.
I really do, because it takes people like yourself, Dr. Gibson, and Mr. Coons, and all of us who want to empower and give back. It's like there's a reason why we're still alive. There's a reason why we should find purpose with our lives.
We all have.
Because every day you look up on Facebook or any social media feed, you're seeing young people dying before the age of 60, right? And it's like, oh, I'm still here. Let me do something. Right. Let me encourage people, motivate them.
And what I had, I think I posted this on my LinkedIn page, the three R's is, you know, at this point, September, it's a new beginning, right? So at this point now, if you are in college, in school, in your family, in business, your organization or whatever, we need to do a reassessment. Because sometimes people do things for years and years and years and go nowhere. They're just marching time. You know, like, you know, in the military, they're just standing and marching time. They're still on the shore. They don't want to get out of the comfort zone. They don't want to change. You know, change is very important. And, you know, I don't like to talk politics, but we must vote. I don't care who you vote for. Just go out there and vote. But when, if you don't vote locally in our communities, we can't really get, you know, anything else.
All things
done.
Are local.
It has to start local.
Yeah.
So, you know, you do your assessment. You do the reassessment. I like to say when we reassess our lives, we look at the mountains and the valleys that we have been in, our leadership skills and the relationships that we have been in. Reassessment is a start over. You could start over. And when you start over, you grow better because you learn from those mistakes that you made along your journey. If you don't come out of your comfort zone, you will be marching time, and I said that, and you will be going nowhere. You'll just be in the same old, you know, you all heard this before, and I know most of my audience out there that's listening, they probably read the book, Who Moved My Cheese? You know, you don't even know that the cheese was moved. And you're just sitting in the same old place, right?
Just smelling some stinky cheese.
Yeah.
So you also have a lot of encouraging words that you give to people, and it does stick. So share with our listening audience some of the encouraging words that you use to motivate others.
Okay, yeah. And let me just give you this other R real quick. To refocus. When you refocus, you shift your time. You know, some of us spend so much time on Facebook and Instagram and all of that, but you could reshift your time if you want to change. You could set that up automatically. People think you're on Facebook all the time, but you could set it up automatically.
Yeah, Ellen taught me how to do that.
Yeah, set it up automatically. So you might be shopping somewhere or you're in a staycation and your things are going out. So I like to tell people to realign, look at what they can bring to their business to make it better. And then if you are the smartest one in the group, or I like to say if you are the one that's always empowering and encouraging and nobody is pouring into you, then it's time for you to shift. You still have to love those friends that you have, love the family members that you have, you know, but you have to shift. I'm a certified John Maxwell executive consultant. I do what I can when I can, but I have to go annually to be empowered, to be engaged, to be, you know.
You keep learning. You keep growing.
It's a learning process, and I learned something like the judge said, Judge Kuhn said, every day you learn something new. If you're not learning, then you're dying. And so here are some things that I think, you know, you always like to hear the faith, family, business, finance, friendships, and fun. And I put fitness in there because we have to do self-care. It is very important for us to do self-care. If you don't, if you don't have good health, and you know, good health is the new wealth. That's what I tell people. If you don't have good health, you know, you can't really serve well. You know, all of us in here are servant leaders. We lead in our community, or have led in our community, and we serve our community. But we want to serve our community with good health. And
well, you have to live by example too.
Yes.
You can't say to people, you should have fun and you should be fit if you're not showing them you're doing it.
Right.
Like I took the weekend to go to the Biltmore. Right. I wanted to learn more about the Vanderbilt family. And you know, this man had vision.
Yes.
He basically built that for us. He sold the surrounding land for $5 an acre to become a preserve for us. And so sometimes I put stuff on my Facebook to encourage people.
Right.
Hey, if your husband don't want to go, or your significant other, find a girlfriend who wants to go.
Right.
Once you put out the call, they all come running. They're like, oh, my husband doesn't want to go either. Can I come?
Yeah.
And we're in a position where we can afford a hotel room.
Exactly.
We could stay at the Grand Bohemian and say, you know what? I did it. What the heck, you know?
I love the Biltmore. I think that it's a beautiful place. In fact, there's a castle there. You know, I was an engineer. So there's a big castle that's there that's carved out there. But what I love most about it is the beauty of the flowers.
The grounds,
The grounds that's there. And the facilities are just wonderful.
But America is beautiful. In all 50 states, if you look, you will find things that are so beautiful. Somebody said to me, well, now that you've been to Asheville, now you need to come to Maine.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of cool things. I'm like, what have I started here? I'll be taking my husband's money and going all over the place. But where can people find you for your encouraging words and motivational skills that you give all of us?
They can find me anywhere on Facebook. Inspire Lead Grow Academy is my page, the Facebook page where I put stuff on, and they could just Google my name. I sometimes don't like to give, you know, right now my website is under construction, but I'll give my email address, and therefore I can block the spammers, because we get so many spams. I bet I get at least 50 to 100 spams a day. And so I don't read them. I just delete them because it goes to my spam box. So they can find me. Just Google my name, Amasita Maloon Gibson. And they can find me there. And I leave you with these words here. Love unconditionally. Be calm when somebody approach you. Be proactive and be prayed up. Prayer is a powerful weapon. And for those that are us that are believers in Christ, and for other Christian entities, prayer is a powerful weapon. So reposition, restruct, restore, restart. You'll get good results, and then you'll have the
revenue. That's like a battery for the car.
Yeah.
Recharge. So before we started the segment, we were for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Dr. Amasita Gibson, Maloon Gibson. What does the MGAA stand for again?
Maloon Gibson and Associates.
Right. It's not MAGA. It's MGAA. We didn't say the wrong thing. So we have a few minutes left, and we're going to go around the room and chat a little bit. And Mr. Coons will start with you. What advice do you have for people, for listeners, for their grandchildren, their children, to give back to the United States? We give so much from our country. What do we expect of others to give back to our country at this time?
Well, I think constructive criticism is good. You know, I mean, we have the First Amendment. We can voice our opinions. But we can do them in such a way as to be respectful of others who disagree with what we're doing, much of the same thing that you've already said. Vote. Don't forget to vote. Don't forget to vote. And, you know, you're always going to be able to find something local that you can really do. When I was when I was bringing up my boys, I was actually a Gray Y football coach. What an experience that was, dealing with parents especially. I mean, the kids were great, but, you know, we...
get involved. We are the community in which we live, right? We are the environment. And Dr. Gibson, you went to military. A lot of people are not encouraging their young ones to go into the military. In a minute or so, tell us how important it is for people to give back to our country in that role and protect it.
I think it's very important. And to give back in our country, the thing I would ask, the question I would throw out for the audience is, can we all just get along? You could agree to disagree. Let's just all just get along.
Like Rodney King said that.
Yeah, to disagree. And I think it's great for individuals to serve in the military, but the military has changed from when I came in. So I tell kids, you know, and now we're talking about, you know, instead of going to the military or going to college, find something that you love to do. They're mechanical engineers, they're regular construction engineers, and right here in the Space Coast, there is so many jobs that are STEM-related, science, engineering, technology, and mathematics. So get into the STEM program and just do the best you can in whatever you decide to do.
Right, and us, our role is to mentor people as well, what we do. And Ellen, you have 30 seconds. What would you tell people to do? Because you're in the arts and entertainment business. You follow in your heart, the passion.
Yes, absolutely. And that would be my message, is to follow your passion. Do what you love to do. And like Dr. Gibson, Maloon Gibson, I don't want to leave out the Maloon part, talked about, it's one of those things that you do. The money, the whatever you're looking for in that passion will come to you.
And mine is always the elderly. We're all born to die, right? We're all born to live a certain amount of time. And be kind to the elderly. Be loving to them. Have empathy towards them, because we are all going to be in their shoes one day.
Say, it's a population
and we're
going
to want somebody
join.
To draw our blood and you know, hang our IVs and take care of us the way we treat people the way we want to be treated.
And karma. You don't take care of your parents and your grandparents now, guess what?
Boy, patience is a real virtue, I tell you. Patience, yes.
Well, I think we have everything on the website and on Facebook now, with both of all the books, the information about Stephen Kuhn's mediation business that he has, and that, you know, contact folks. Believe me, you want to make sure that you have a pen and paper each and every time you tune into Viewpoint with Sita and Friends every Monday here, Eastern Standard Time at 1 p.m. Of course, you can listen live right online, as well as hear all of our archive shows. Thanks again to all of our loyal listeners and all of our friends. Certainly thanks to you, Stephen Kuhns, and Dr. Amasita Gibson.
Maloon Gibson. You forgot the Maloon.
Dang it. Thank you so much. Be good to each other. We'll see you soon.
That's why the show is unscripted. It's fun.
Exactly.